Nick Kiprios joins us now. Rangers Bruins is where he was last night, honoring the 94 team. You must have seen some familiar faces at this 25-year shindig shenanigan, right?
Yeah, they're starting to crawl in. Brian Noonan and Stefan Matteau were there last night. Brian Leetch was in the building. I came in early, so all good. All good.
My guy Doug Litz.
I did Vancouver radio yesterday, so I had to be really, really low key. I had to be really low key on Vancouver radio yesterday.
You have to.
Somber almost.
You were apologetic for the 7-game victory over the Canucks.
As soon as you get on air, I'm just going to take off this ring before I really get into this with you guys.
That's right. I will say, my recollection of the series, tell me if I'm wrong, you're playing in is Pavel Bure. We talked about maybe he'd win the Conn Smythe. It's one thing if an opposing goalie wins it. Pavel had made a real case. He made a real case. What was it like watching him in that series going, look, they're good, we're better, but if we get beat, it's going to be because of that guy.
Well, the most iconic moment was the penalty shot in Vancouver, one-on-one against Richter, and I've never seen a goalie skate backwards faster than Mike Richter on that breakaway or that penalty shot. And I think it's still kind of a defining moment that, and Mike Richter was a great athlete, but he had to be at his very best skating backwards to make the save on Pavel. And, you know, Pavel was special as well. I mean, you looked around the league and we had great players, but not too many skated like Pavel Bure. And now here in 2019, we got a dozen Pavel Bures that skate like that. So, it was fun being a part of that.
It stood out a lot more.
Imagine it's 25 years ago.
Yeah, it's amazing. It stood out a lot more, his skating. You're right. That's a great point. 31-point playoff for Pavel Bure getting through. And remember, they won in 5 games. They didn't play to 7 games in every series. Tell me about the game you saw. Great 3-on-3 overtime. Everybody, I mean, it's a benchmark for why 3-on-3 overtime works and has been aesthetically pleasing to all the fans.
Oh, last night was fantastic. And, you know, Boston's getting healthy, and you still watch Bergeron, Pasternak, and Marchand. And I texted McLean last night, and I go, you know, with all due respect to others, this has to be the best line in the league. It has to be. When they're on and Bergeron is on and healthy, holy moly, whoever, you know, whether it's Toronto or Tampa Bay or Washington, if this team's healthy and they get some good goaltending, we'll see where they are at the trade deadline, too. They're going to add some pieces. I'm not sure what. They don't have their first rounder that they gave up for Nash. But they're going to go and try to find a top six winger here and add to that. But last night was a lot of fun watching.
You talk about these packed with talent first lines, and we see it in Boston. Obviously, it's talked about a ton in Colorado as well. Is there any part of you, small or big, that wants to see them kind of roll something like that out in Toronto at all?
Well, listen, I mean, when you watch last night and you watch on a number of occasions, if you're not on your game, if you're not checking, if you're not getting in the faces of the talent of the Leafs, they're going to put a 5, 6, or 7 spot on you. And that's, again, they weren't at their best. They didn't have to be at their best, but they can score. And when you watch, you know, Matthews and Marner with the puck and create, and then Morgan Riley, another game breaker now, and what a fantastic goal. I mean, end-to-end, skating at its best. They've got the power to win games based on their offense. So it's just a matter of, you know, whether it's the Boston Bruins or another team getting in their faces and playing a different style. And if that's the case, then they're still being for a challenge. And we'll see what Kyle does about that between now and the trade deadline.
Nick Kiprios joining us from New York City. Don't forget Hockey Central at noon later today. And we have Penguins-Panthers on Sportsnet 360 from Sunrise at 7 o'clock tonight. The Leafs are off till they play the Canadiens in Montreal on Wednesday. I haven't played them since opening night. Do you look at Brian Burke was on our show yesterday, and his takeaway from the Matthews deal, Nick, and we've had about 48 hours to let it marinate, is that's the term Mitch Marner will sign for. Don't know the number. If Mitch plays this out and has his leading score and has a great playoff, he helps himself. But is 5 years, that was Brian's takeaway, this is not going to be longer than a five-year agreement between the Leafs. Would you lean in that direction, or is it way too early to speculate?
Well, again, listen, to Brian's point, it now gives the Marner camp an option. But there's a lot of teams that would look at their superstars and say, hey, listen, we're not leaving the room until we get you maxed out on 8 years. I want my fans to know that we did everything to lock up our star players. Because the Leafs are painted in a corner with the salary cap, they couldn't do that to Matthews. So they had to go 5 years. They had to go back to their fans and say, listen, I know we run the risk of losing our franchise player 1 year after he's eligible for unrestricted free agency, but that's the best that we can do. So now you got Marner, and, you know, Marner wants to be an equal. I don't know how you can't go to Marner and say, we're going to give you the same options, not necessarily the same, you know, term, but we'll give you the options of signing a shorter term deal, just like we did Matthews. I think it's a given. Now, whether he takes it, whether he wants more security, remains to be seen. But the option has to be there for Marner as it was for Matthews. And, you know, that's the only way the Leafs can go about it from here on in if they want to keep them all together for at least five more seasons.
So you have Matthews for this playoff run and then five more. If he decides, for whatever reason, not to re-sign here, is one cup going to be enough to make this fan base not upset that they're losing a franchise player?
Well, can I ask you if the cup is this season or five seasons from now? Right?
How about three? Like, we'll bridge the gap. We'll go in the middle.
Three? Maybe. Maybe.
No, that's a good point, though. It's a really good point.
Listen, I mean, you've got this group, and you want to keep them together, and you want to win your cup or cups. But, you know, like, I think it's a valid point that, you know, whether it is in year one or year five, the Leafs are really hoping that the X amount isn't the bottom line, that it's about, you know, winning. It's about connecting with the city and then all of the perks that come with it. And that's the sales job that Brendan had, you know, months ago when he talked about, you know, possibly guys having to buy in that money can't be the only objective here. And, you know, to a certain extent, we saw Austin, you know, buy into that. You know, with all due respect, I get it. It's the second best contract in the league. But if he surpassed Connor McDavid, I don't think anybody would really argue it too much to say, hey, that's where the market's moved. But he didn't challenge that. He didn't try to go there. So in saying that, in many ways, I thought Austin still brought in to the fact. And, you know, we listened to Austin's quotes, you know, days before he signed, and he was pretty much saying the same thing. Now, you got to get Marner signed here. That kind of completes the package here. And it might be a little trickier here. With all due respect to the negotiations on Tavares and Matthews, the biggest hurdle, and we've said this even before, will always be Marner, because they always envisioned where Matthews was in a negotiation. But last July or August, they did not envision, they did not forecast.
That's right.
That Marner was going to be as good as he turned out to be. And that one moved the bar millions.
Yeah.
Matthews' number didn't change a whole heck of a lot. The picture didn't change a whole heck of a lot. The picture's changed incredibly, you know, big in terms of the picture for Marner.
So before you go, give us the lay of the land in Manhattan, man. Like, you're 25 years out from the Rangers winning the Cup. They went to the final a few years ago. They sent a letter to their season ticket holders about 10 months ago and said, brace yourself, we're going to make some moves, maybe 11 months ago, and we're going to make some trades. Is the team good enough that it's frustrating for fans? They're nowhere near 31st. They'd really have to luck into, you know, winning the lottery and moving up. Do people like this? This is the first real noted, admitted rebuild, really, with Glenn Sather there. What's it like?
Well, in many ways, it's like Toronto, where it's incredibly corporate, and, you know, you got Wall Street, and, you know, there's a few empty seats, and there isn't quite the buzz probably on a contending team. But for the most part, I think they've done a pretty good job. I didn't particularly like the letter that they sent out, you know, in terms of the rebuild, but it's fine. You know, listen, it's New York and Toronto, and you can tell people to wait. Now, I'm not sure if Eugene Melnyk's going to get away with it, you know, in the next few years. You know, I mean, Eugene's basically saying we're not spending acknowledging and what here in New York.
Yeah, tricky thing to do. Hey, thanks for doing this. Glad you had a great time at the game. Safe travels back here to TO.
Okay, guys. Have a great day.